Tim, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Tim, what has sparked this call from tech companies to back away from the government's encryption crackdown?
So, I think this all started last year when our Prime Minister held a press conference to say that they had all the intentions of drafting legislation that would compel companies to break encryption protocol for law enforcement, which sounds like it's actually quite a good thing for law enforcement to have the power to do. You know, we want them to be able to access communications that they need to be able to intercept, as long as the correct warrants are in place, which they have said would be the case here. The big problem is that when you're talking about encrypted end-to-end communication, you can't break that. It's an actual mathematical impossibility. And the only way to provide access would be to actually create loopholes, create backdoors, and break it for everything. And so I guess what we're concerned here is not so much about whether or not the government intends to do this and how they intend to manage it. It's the unintended consequences. If you push over your back fence in order to get access for something that's, you know, perfectly reasonable, like a fire service needs to push through your back door and get a fire hose in to treat a fire, you're like, that's good, that's great. But in the process, you will let the dog out. So is there a way for you to throw the fire hose over the fence without breaking it down? I guess is the best analogy that we could come up with. So what we've done yesterday and today is calling for a rethink of how they're actually approaching this whole legislation, because we're very concerned about what it would mean for the internet at large.
So you mentioned before the back door. What exactly is an issue in putting this back door in our encryption?
So this goes back to a case in the US where the FBI were attempting to gain access to an iPhone of a suspected terrorist. Now, they had due cause, they had him in custody, and they wanted to access his encrypted communications to see who he was talking to see if they could break open a ring. He refused to actually unlock his phone, so they went to Apple. And Apple said, well, we can't. Like, we genuinely can't, because the encryption protocols, if we break them, the entire Apple system will break. They kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and Apple, to their credit, held their ground, not because they thought that what was happening in that individual case was immoral, because they could see the ramifications of if you break one little hole in that encryption, it breaks it for everyone. So this is what we're very confused about with this government. They keep on pushing for this idea, saying, well, we need to have access. We need to have law enforcement be able to break in and, you know, go to Facebook or Apple or Google and say, here is the due cause, here is the suspect, give us access. But as soon as you do that, it'll have ripple effects on the way that we use those encryption protocols everywhere. So we haven't actually seen the legislation as it's drafted yet. I suspect a large part of that is because the advice they're getting from us and from tech companies and from anyone involved in this is that it's impossible. What you're asking for is an impossibility, and we need to go back to the drawing board and rethink how do we give law enforcement the tools they need without breaking encryption.
If you're just joining us here on The Daily, we're talking to Tim Singleton-Norton discussing multiple tech companies and digital rights groups calling for the government to back down from their encryption crackdown. Now, Tim, first, it was this potential crackdown, then doubts about my health record. Should we be worried about just how much personal information the government is trying to access from us?
I think it's more about worrying about the relationship that we have with the government about data. Because I've actually been on several interviews up against health experts who are quite rightly pointing out the benefits of a national health system. And there are huge benefits. You know, there are misdiagnoses, there are records that get lost, there is time wasted in the handover of patients between different services. If we had one system with it all updated and you got transferred, particularly in rural areas between hospitals, and could just pick up a new record and had all the information, that would be hugely beneficial to health practitioners. The problem is, do we trust the government to be the controller of that data? Now, we've had countless examples of data breaches. Centrelink have lost hundreds of thousands of people's information out into the public sphere. We've had issues around whether they're really protecting our privacy, which was very evident in the 2016 national census, where they suddenly turned around and said, we're going to be keeping a certain level of identifiable data on you. And we have in place one of the most restrictive mandatory data retention schemes of a government listening to our phone calls and listening and looking at our emails. And so I think that's where we start to get a bit worried about, I can see the benefits in certain systems, but as we link more and more, and as we cross-reference, and as we give more power to certain government agencies, we have to question whether that's actually worth what we get in the end.
Right. Well, it's some worrying stuff there that's been unpacked. Tim, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.